99.5 FM, WBAI New York and WBAI.org. It was good. And WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock, and the program you just heard, Labrish, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. Stay tuned for Back of the Book.
Every day in the week, I'm in a different...
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It is most probable that it is about 5 a.m., which means you're listening to all Hail to King Tampon the First, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here on this program. You can find out a little bit more about what we're going to talk about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And you can look around at things there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that and you will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. And we do a new web page for each and every radio program, which means we have hundreds of them. And I've been finishing up some of them lately because I can't always finish them all right away. I rarely finish them right away. But I've been fixing up the ones that needed to be finished up. And so I've been doing that lately. And I'll be doing it some more. So I don't know. You can look around up there, see what the hell we've come up with for the website. In any event, the WBAI website seems to be working all right as we record this program. However, I have noticed that the archives seem to be screwed up. I just looked at it. This is Friday, of course. We're recording on a Friday. I looked at it, and what's happened is the archives seem to have stopped at around 2:30 Friday afternoon. By the time you hear this, this may all be fixed. I know I've written to management and the webmaster about it, so they may say, "Oh yeah, you know," and you know, kick the gopher that powers all the computers at BAI and get it to run around in its little cage and put the power back on. So that may fix it all up there. But right now, as we're recording, the archives have stopped. If there's a problem that's sort of permanent, I will attempt to get the archive of this program posted up there. If not, I'll put it on glib.com for anybody who wants to listen to it. Okay, this is our 106th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded, This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't reference them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live one, but this is what we have to do in these still dangerous times. The top intergalactic story of the week is, we are holding at the unprecedented high of 124 followers on Twitter. And, oh boy, Elon Musk is lusting after getting control of Twitter because, hey, he sees we've got 124 followers and he knows that's more than he has. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be on Wednesday, September 14th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 607,840,714 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,512,519. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 95,176,686, and the death toll in America was 1,050,222. So 2,842 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. That's about 800 fewer deaths than the previous week. And people have been saying for a couple of months now that the rates are going down. And the thing is, we saw them going up, but now maybe that's really happening. Maybe the death rate and the rate of catching COVID-19 is going down, maybe. That would be good if it were. However, the pandemic is still not over, even though a lot of people are behaving as if it were, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Keep your masks on. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has approved the boosters for Omicron variants BA4 and BA5. So that's something that I plan to get as soon as I can. Anybody else here have any experience with these new shots?
Me.
Oh, tell us about it, my dear.
I think I went online and went through the whole routine through the New York City website looking for a place to get the updated booster, as it's called. And I found one at a pharmacy, and I made an appointment. And the next day, I went and got the updated COVID shot and a senior flu shot. It's like give one in one arm, one in the other arm.
By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted earlier will be higher. This was all mostly preventable. The whole world did not have to go through now 2.5 years of this. And, of course, the climate crisis continues, even though, amazingly, there are still people in total denial of this. They're denying that anything is happening, even as everything around them burns because of horrendous drought, or everything around them is washed away because of floods that are exacerbated by the drought before them that hardened up the ground so it couldn't absorb the water. And all the other stuff that's going on with it. And interestingly, of course, this stuff is complicated. The climate crisis and global warming and the climate change are not that simple a bunch of things. Maybe that's why some people, especially politicians, find it easy to say it's not happening. And of course, politicians love to play to the stupid. As it turns out, this year's Atlantic hurricane season is lighter than usual. The reason is that dust from the Sahara Desert is being blown over the eastern Atlantic Ocean. That's where they usually form up, is in the eastern Atlantic, eastern to mid-Atlantic, and it gets warmer and warmer, and that's what makes the hurricanes take off. And it's a combination of the prevailing winds and the rotation of the Earth combining to move things around for it all. And so, yes, the dust from the Sahara Desert is being blown over the eastern Atlantic. It cools down the water by shading it a bit from the sun. Now, you might think, well, how much could that do? Apparently enough, because, of course, this is over thousands and thousands of square miles of ocean, and there's this dust in the air, and it lowers the temperature just a tiny bit. And that's a part of what happens with a lot of these phenomena. A few degrees makes a huge difference. It's sort of like people saying, this global warming stuff and climate change, it's only going to warm things up by 3 or 4 degrees. Well, 3 or 4 degrees is pretty huge, as it turns out, because then all the glaciers melt and Antarctica starts becoming a place that has a lot of real estate on it. And, oh, look at all that ice floating in the sea around Antarctica. And, hey, didn't Miami used to be over there? Uh-oh, glug, glug, Miami. And so these little things, these small amounts of changes, can have a big effect. In the history of the planet Earth, there have been some pretty large swings of temperature, and they've had gigantic effects. There was a time when we had what's called snowball Earth. That was like, you know, a couple of billion years ago or something. And so there was that. And we've had times when it's been significantly warmer than it is now. So we've had climate swings that have been pretty drastic, which is why when people say, oh, it's only going to be like 3 or 4 degrees hotter in the next decades or into the beginning of the 22nd century, oh, that's not much, you know, 3 or 4 degrees. What's that? Well, you know, for those people, probably popping up the temperature where they are, 3 or 4 degrees, especially when they're trying to sleep at night, they might appreciate that right there, although it's a much bigger deal in terms of its effect on the climate. Because once you melt that ice and it's too hot for the ice to reform again, you don't have that ice anymore. So things have changed on what, for a human being, on a human being's lifetime scale, is a permanent basis. And so anyway, less energy from the sun hits the water, and that means less energy is available to create the conditions to build up hurricanes. And that has really stopped the usual hurricane train from going off, even though 2022 is going to be one of the hottest years on record. And it is, in fact, an interesting illustration of how very complex the atmosphere and the climate issues are. You can't just say a simple thing. You know, somebody will probably at some point cite, oh, the Atlantic hurricane season wasn't that big in 2022, so it wasn't really that warm a year. Well, they can say that, but we have this other reason. Part of this reason is because the winds blowing across the Sahara are a bit stronger. So they're picking up a lot more of the dust and sending it out over the Atlantic. This is also an issue that's biological. The coral in the Caribbean Sea is getting decimated. Why? They discovered it's because there are fungal spores on the sand and dust coming off the Sahara Desert. And that stuff lands in the sea, sinks, goes down, gets where the corals are, and the fungi start doing bad things to the coral. And that kills them. So you got some bleached reefs there. So that's another complicated thing. And part of what happens is, of course, a lot of us have never really experienced that type of dust. If you go to Coney Island, well, Coney Island sand comes off the sea, the bottom of the harbor, and they spray it up there. So it's really only been around in the water for the most part. And what has been known by geologists for a very long time is that things, pieces of geology, whether it's rocks or bits of sand or whatever, that have been in the water tend to be rounded. because that's the way the water works. Things that have been eroding in the atmosphere tend to be sharp. The reason being that stuff doesn't go blowing so fast in the ocean, and it gets worn, you know, by the action of the water on it and all of that. Whereas what happens in the atmosphere is, yeah, you get a little bit of the air is eroding the rock, but not much. What happens is the air takes things and throws them around. And so that's what starts making things sharper. And with sand, the sand particles, they start out as pretty small anyway, but they actually do bang into each other. And they do damage, and they break each other up. They're already small. Then they break up, and they're smaller, and they break up those little pieces, and they're smaller. Eventually, you get dust, sand dust, and it's different in different parts of the world. There is something that used to be called the Silk Road in Asia, and it's a route that goes from inside China all the way off to Arabia, and off to the Mediterranean Sea, essentially. And it was a major trade route between East and West thousands of years ago. And one part of it was especially treacherous, and it was because of the dust. And that it was, of course, an area that was desert, and it was sand, and for a very long time, the wind was just whipping around in there, and you developed this dust. And people went to go look at it. I remember I think it was the 70s or 80s, their equipment was just getting ruined because the dust was so very fine, it got into everything. Their filters, everything they put over it, it went through all that stuff, and oh man, it really did damage. And so they got a really good illustration of why some caravans actually took a much longer route around that part of the Silk Road in order to avoid all of the dust, because even though they didn't have precision equipment in those days, your camels could end up getting messed up by it, and human beings could end up with their eyes not working right anymore. Plus, you're swallowing a whole lot of that dust, and that's the dust, the type of dust that's coming out of the Sahara Desert, the little bits of sand that have crashed into each other, probably for maybe, just tens of thousands of years. And now it's so fine that it gets easily carried into the stratosphere by the high winds, and it goes across the eastern Atlantic, certainly, and in some cases goes all the way across to the New World. So this is what's happening, and it's also very complex. And it's stuff that is very hard to calculate ahead of time. I remember when I was reading about global warming, when it was a brand new thing, I was reading about it in Analog Magazine. Analog, I don't know if it still exists. It was Science Fact and Science Fiction Magazine. And they were writing about, the temperatures are going up, and it looks like it started around the time of the Industrial Revolution in the early 19th century. And here we are 165 years later, and gee whiz, it's starting to warm up. This could easily make it so that we get a warmer atmosphere in the end of the 21st century, of course, in the late 60s, early 70s, talking about the end of the 21st century, that was science fiction and nobody paid serious attention to it. Well, very few people did. And so they were saying, yeah, stuff could go up 3 or 4 degrees by then. I think we've already hit that by now. But it's something that you can look at and say, yeah, this is all very complex stuff. And the people who dismiss it, for like tiny reasons, like one time we had a big snowstorm and some idiot shot a video of the snow whipping around her house and saying, "Where's the global warming, Obama? Where's the global warming, Obama?" Because she had a snowstorm. Stupid people. And it's complex, and people can't figure it out, and that's part of why not enough is being done about it. But we're all going to be in it. In fact, we're In fact, we're immersed in it right now.
Because all you of Earth are idiots.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Speaking of politics and idiocy, well, Trump was, of course, going to this judge that he'd appointed and asked for a special master to be appointed. And, well, he got this. He got his so-called special master, almost. Federal Judge Eileen Cannon, who was appointed to the bench by Trump in 2020, has ruled in favor of him in his stupid lawsuit demanding that she interfere with the criminal investigation of the national security harm he's done to this country. To make it worse, her ruling also said that the Department of Justice is, quote, temporarily enjoined from further review and use of any of the materials seized for criminal investigative purposes pending resolution of the special master's review, unquote. Wow, what a corrupt ruling. Obviously, this person, I mean, she wouldn't do this for anybody else. She's doing this because she is a Trump appointee. God damn. Even Trump's own attorney general, William Barr, said that, quote, the whole idea of a special master is a bit of a red herring. They have already gone through the documents. I think it's a waste of time, unquote. He joined others later on in the week in simply condemning the ruling outright, and constitutional law professor Lawrence Tribe of Harvard University saying that Cannon's order was, quote, unjustified and ill-considered, unquote. The Department of Justice has filed a new brief asking the judge to issue a partial stay of her ruling, which would temporarily void the part of it that bars prosecutors from examining seized confidential items for, quote, criminal investigative purposes, unquote. The Department of Justice looks like it's going to appeal her ruling if she doesn't agree to do that. I think they should appeal it anyway. I think they should appeal this whole thing. It is obviously corrupt. Lawrence Tribe isn't the only constitutional scholar commenting about how bad this is. Just about everybody else who's a lawyer has said, wow, this is pretty bad. And it obviously is. It's, you know, another Florida judge he appointed. God, this shows how much more damage this awful creature Trump has done to the United States of America and, by the way, to the world. And I think by now everyone's heard about the Lincoln Project. That's a bunch of Republicans who don't want to be in the Republican Party of Trump. They want to be in the Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, Republicans have been bragging about Lincoln for 170 years or something. And, so, well, 160 years. And so they don't like what Trump has been doing. You know, they're saner Republicans. And so they've been opposed to Trump and a lot of different things. And the Lincoln Project made an ad, a political ad, and it's called Sucker. Or, sucker! And they ran it on Fox News. A lot of Republicans are going to watch that. And Trump is now furious over this thing. And he's threatening to sue both the Lincoln Project and Fox News. Oh, my! Oh, I guess the honeymoon's over there. He's going to sue Fox News. And a part of the thing is what they do in Sucker is they tell these Trump supporters, hey, he tells you he's doing this, he's doing that, and you give money to go to these things. He's lining his own pockets, you idiots. He's using the money you send him to prop up his failing personal business. You know, and it can also cite the other jerks, including Steve Bannon, who's indicted now for The very thing that Trump pardoned him for, which was clearly scamming people for this "we build the wall" nonsense. Yeah, if you send us a bunch of money, we'll put your name on a brick in the wall that we're doing. There weren't even supposed to be any bricks. It's like a vertical metal thing. How the hell do they have bricks on this thing? And so, oh yeah, we're going to do that. But they didn't do that anyway. What they did was they pocketed the money. And so Trump said, oh, that's okay. He's my pal. He can do that. I'll pardon him. But it doesn't work here in New York. So he's been indicted, and I bet you he's going to end up going to jail. I look forward to this. And anyway, so the Lincoln Project made this this ad, or a public service announcement, if you will, called Sucker. And it aimed it at these Trump supporters who are giving him money and saying, look what he's done. You know, he's suckering you. And so, oh, it's a big threat. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue Fox News. Well, a guy named Rick Wilson, Republican, he's the guy, I guess, in charge of the Lincoln Project, said, quote, Trump's threat to sue the Lincoln Project today is like Trump himself, impotent, flabby, and pathetic, unquote. Yeah, that pretty much sums him up.
Since I grew up in Canada, Queen Elizabeth was the Queen of Canada. Canada's Governor General is her representative. And, I don't know, the Queen is just part of the background when you grow up in Canada. I mean, she's on all that money, as I said. And it just seemed like she would be around a long time, and she was, and then now she's not. And it does feel oddly personal. I mean, in my family, they pretty much were monarchists. They enjoyed living in a democracy in what used to be called the Dominion of Canada for quite some time. Even my grandma, who was French-Canadian or Quebecois, she loved the Queen. She loved reading about her. Both my parents at different times separately have seen, well, when my mother was a young woman, she saw Prince Philip. When my dad worked for Expo 67, he saw the Queen herself. He was standing among a group of about 50 hostesses. He worked for the Canadian Pacific Cominco Pavilion. He was the male steward in the pavilion. He used to get drinks for all the celebrities, and that was the World Exposition, Expo 67. And the Queen rode by on the little mini rail, which was an open air, a system where you went, it was up in the air, you know. I'm not quite sure how to describe a mini rail, but, and she was in there and she sort of gave him a little wry smile, he said, because he was this like one guy in his 30s amidst all these 20-something young women and their spiffy uniforms. My parents saw the Queen once at Buckingham Palace also one time when they were visiting London. I believe she was leaving in a car, so that was very exciting. I don't know, it is kind of like having an extra grandmother. At least this is one member of the Commonwealth who feels that way. I know Uncle Sidney, who used to have a wonderful show on this radio station, he feels the same way too, because his family had many family members who came from Commonwealth countries, and whenever the Queen was doing something, everyone would gather around the TV to watch or read about it. And it is interesting that she had such an impact on a lot of countries around the world. Of course, the British Empire broke up during her reign. I think it started right before her reign. I'm not positive, but anyway.
Well, India was 1947.
Yes,
so.
India was. But I believe the rest of the Commonwealth was in the 1950s. I mean, they really started to roll.
50s and 60s, yeah.
And yet, she remained on friendly terms with many, many of these countries. She was somebody who knew a lot about politics. She met a lot of different kinds of politicians, some of them really awful, some of them not. She was a veteran. along with her husband, World War II veteran. And she did provide some kind of stability. And I'm wondering now what is going to happen to the Commonwealth countries. Will there still be a Commonwealth under the next sovereign? So I don't know. But all I know is Canadians do have this connection because they are part of the Commonwealth. And it is just very odd that she isn't there anymore.
Well, and of course, every time she'd come on TV, you'd have to genuflect or curtsy, you know. Actually, of course, now what we have is her replacement, King Chucky III. Yeah, he gave a speech. Why didn't you, you know, why didn't you do a curtsy when he got on TV? Don't you have to do that? I mean, anyway. Chucky III is the king now, and it comes from a long line of Chuckies. Well, not that long a line. There were only two of them. Charles I was executed in 1649 after the English Civil War. They got into these little disputes about a few things, including religion. Then his eldest surviving son, Charles II, became King of England. So that's the second Charles. Charles II was known as the Merry Monarch for the hedonism of his court. He was quite something there. And, I guess Chucky III here, since he's an old man coming into the job, and I must say, it's the first time I've ever been older than the King of England, woohoo, or the Queen of England. And while we're at it, what an undemocratic way to handle this. Why didn't they have some other way of choosing it instead of, oh, he's her kid, well, so what? What is this, nepotism? I could have, you know, stood for that. I was, you know, elect me Queen of England. That's what I would do. But, oh, well, too late now. King Chucky III has gone on TV and stuff. And, yeah, he was somebody who would have been a merry monarch if he had been king earlier in his life. But now that he's an old man, he can't party much anymore. And he's going to stay with this one woman. And he is, of course, infamous for his reference at one point of telling her in a phone call, I think, that got intercepted. Not legal, but people did it. He said he wanted to be her tampon. So, oh, man. So we should call him King Tampon I, in addition to his King Chucky III. So King Chucky III, parenthesis, Tampon I, and leave it at that. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And recently there's been another death that at least some of us find notable, and that is astronomer Frank Drake died earlier this month. He was 92 years old. You might have heard about Frank Drake. He was the originator of the Drake equation. And the Drake equation takes several factors into account, and it tries to calculate what are the odds that we're going to have, how many planets with sentient life are in the universe. And it takes in all the different kinds of things, how stars and planets form, and how many are going to be this hot or that cold, and various things. It's a long equation. And, of course, the numbers to plug into it, we don't have all those numbers yet. It's still something that's being researched. And, of course, he and some others started the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. and they started looking for what some people call LGM, or Little Green Men. And in, I think it was 1968, that some people thought they'd found it, because they were getting this regular signal, and they could, you know, do all the things, off-aim the radio telescope, go back, it was still there, and try different things. It was in a narrow band, and oh boy, you know, this is, they were speculating, it was just like a beep, 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 but it was steady, and it was not coming from the Earth, it was not coming from anywhere near the Earth. It continued in the same spot for months at a time, which meant it wasn't going to be one of the other planets or anything, and the steady beep, 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 it was, you know, it was so steady. I mean, a natural phenomenon, such as we had with our sound going south a few minutes ago, that kind of gets all broken up and irregular. But this was going beep, beep, beep at a very steady rate. And if you built a beacon, a radio beacon, it would probably be a pretty acceptable beacon if it had the same stability as the beep, beep, beep. So they said, Little Green Men, maybe, and they kept it under their hats for a while they experimented. In the end, it turned out they had discovered a quasar. Quasar is a very old black hole from billions of years ago at the center of a galaxy that's very actively consuming material that's around it and falling in. And the material is also, through various means I won't get into, forming jets at the poles, the two poles of the black hole. And it's spinning them out. And the black hole is itself spinning. And so The jets are coming toward the Earth, and they sweep past, and the jets are continuous. It would be like a woo type of thing. But since it only hits us for a part of its arc of its travel, it's a beep, beep, beep type of signal. And people thought they had found it then, but they didn't. And so nobody has yet. Frank Drake was one of the famous guys, I'm told, that if you take elementary astronomy these days, the odds are very high that you have heard of Frank Drake because of his Drake equation and the possibility of sentient extraterrestrials. And so he's passed away at the age of 92, and we're sorry to see him go. Tomorrow, of course, is September 11th. It'll be the 21st anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And, yeah, you know, we're not in with some of the other people here at BAI. We've got a whole bunch of people who buy into the 9/11 conspiracy nut community stuff. And some of them are actual outright truthers and all of that. And so, yeah, we get a lot of that at BAI, and I see it on some of the mailing lists that I'm on. And, yeah, I mean, some of the 9/11 conspiracy nut community doesn't tend to like us because we say, hey, this is a bunch of guys who got into planes and crashed them into buildings and, you know, tried to crash them into one building and got shot down by the passengers in the plane. And so, yeah, it's going to be the 21st anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And, yeah, you know, I guess some of the 9/11 conspiracy nut community people are all geared up from that. I'm sure there'll be something on the air on Sunday talking about all of the various little so-called theories, more like what I refer to as hoaxes, that some of the conspiracy nuts like. And, you know, it's been my observation that a lot of the 9/11 truthers, they're also anti-vaxxers. So it's an interesting thing that all of these cuckoos tend to be flocking together like that. And Jesus Christ, you know, you want to talk about the right wing is, you know, loaded up with nutcases? Well, the left wing has got plenty of its own. So you've got nutcases all over the place and stupid people all over the place, and it's all a problem.
And it's all aided and abetted by the Internet.
Speaking of the Internet and bad people, There is a company called Cloudflare that provides security stuff for websites, and some websites really need it. Mine doesn't because hardly anybody looks at my website. Anyway, there is this internet forum called Kiwi Farms, and oh boy, I only recently found out about this, and within days of my finding out about it, it got into the news big time. Cloudflare has blocked Kiwi Farms, their forum, because of the harassment they've been doing to people. And yeah, Cloudflare, what it does is it provides security for you. And so if you have a big website that can attract a lot of attention and maybe attacks, you want to have Cloudflare there to help you out. And without that, you're more vulnerable. Well, Kiwi Farms has been doing bad things. It's a right-wing group, and their big thing these days is attacking trans people. A trans woman named Clara Sorrenti has been forced into hiding from the Kiwi Farms people in Europe. What they do is they dox you, they research you, they find out everything they can about you, they publish your name, address, your phone number, pictures of you, pictures of your family and everything related to you online, and they harass you, they call you up, they SWAT you, which is where Ms. Sorrenti at one point opened the door and there was a cop pointing a gun in her face because they'd said some big bad thing was going on at her house. Oh, get over here right away, making believe they were there. And the cops came in and the SWAT teams come running in, and they do this to people. And they, they've been doing this to her for a while, and they've driven her to Europe. She's hiding in Europe now because she can't stay in the United States anymore. They had driven another trans woman to suicide some while ago. And that's their goal, is to kill trans people. And Jesus H. Christ. So Cloudflare, with a bit of pressure put on him, said, yeah, we're not going to support them anymore. We're not going to work for them anymore. So then they went to a Russia-based service of the same sort. And within a couple of days this past week, the Russia-based service also dumped Kiwi Farms. And the creator of this right-wing hate site said, quote, "This meme about Russia being a free country is a joke. The U.S. is a free country, but with no stewards to protect it. Without the U.S., there is no second best. I did not expect Cloudflare to crumple so quickly, and I don't have a plan C," unquote. And so, yeah, his idea is by attacking minority people, and of course they're also racist and sexist and everything else, by attacking minority people, especially trans people, they're being the stewards of American freedom. So talk about twisted scumbags. These guys are that.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
All right, we got to crank something up here. Let's go. Crank it up, crank it up, crank it up. Okay, the pitching express is now cranked up. Here we go, all right. We're pitching. We gotta pitch. There is no choice about this. WBAI is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio, and we really are listener-sponsored. But we don't have enough listeners sponsoring us. We know that there are some of you listening to us. It's more than just one or two people. We know there are 19 of you listening to us. If all 19 of you would simply call 1-212-209-2950 and pledge some amount of money to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book, that would help us a great deal. You could also become a BAI buddy. Yes, a BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership. And when you become a BAI buddy, that means you're going to donate to WBAI on a monthly basis. So in order to do that, you call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And what you do then is you give them your credit card or debit card number, and you tell them how much you would like to donate on a monthly basis. It can be $5 or $10, $15 or $20, and you can donate that much on a monthly basis. Hey, $5 or $10 a month, come on, it's not that bad. $15 or $20 is more, and we would hope that some of you would go for that, and or more if you please. And so the deal is you would then tell them how much you want to donate every month, and you would tell them what day of the month you would like your credit card or debit card to be charged. That way the charge doesn't happen on an inconvenient date. So you do that and you become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And I don't know if we have any BAI buddies left. We're not sure about this. And we need some more, though, because we had at most two. I think one dropped out. Maybe both dropped out by now. Things happen. And, you know, if you've been a BAI buddy for us in the past and would like to do so again, yeah, call 1-212-209-2950 and just go through it all again and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And, you know, we talk about all sorts of things here, and I don't know, I make the same pitch all the time. We don't make much money. Tony donated a couple of months ago now, and thank you, Tony. And you can get thanked too if you want. If you don't want us to thank you, we won't thank you. And we would wish that you would call 1-212-209-2950 and pledge. You could also just make a one-time donation. You can call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to make a one-time donation of. And if you donate $25 or more, you become a member of WBAI in Pacifica. And whenever we have some elections, and we're going to have some at some point soon, you will be able to vote in those elections. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now, or give the call center a call. You're not calling us. We're pre-recorded, unfortunately. And so, yeah, please give us a call at that number. And what you'll be doing is saying, yes, you want to have this kind of freeform live radio stuff on the air. Now, we're not live at this point in time because of restrictions, and Saturday morning has more restrictions than other times of the week at BAI. That's life. And we also are ourselves leery of getting on the subway at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, given what's been happening in the subway. Anyway, 1-212-209-2950. And you hear things on this radio program that you don't hear from most places. You don't hear anybody else referring to King Chucky the Third or King Tampon the First. You also don't hear people telling you very much about the Sahara Desert making dust. And how does that happen? How come it's not just the Coney Island type of sand? How is it different? Well, we told you about that. And you don't hear people talking about that at various times. You don't hear people saying, oh, you know, Frank Drake has died, and caring about it. Most places have never heard of Frank Drake, and they wouldn't know anything about it. And they would say, huh, Little Green Man, what's that? You know, the TV anchors are really sense. Anyway, we do things that other places don't do. Also, even though we don't, you know, we keep going till 6 o'clock in the morning, which I think is early morning, we are still considered overnight radio, because midnight to 6 a.m. is a unique slot in radio. And you will also be contributing to keeping all of the overnight programs on the air. We have various overnight programs, and if they go, well, that could happen. I mean, if they go, BAI would lose a lot of its personality. All sorts of things happen in these overnight programs, especially when we get back to doing them live. And what happens is if you pledge, you are saying also to management, hey, there are people listening to these overnight radio programs. It isn't barren out there. There are people who are going online saying these programs have no listeners. Management has told us that according to the Nielsen ratings, we have zero listeners and zero cum or whatever the hell it was. What did they say we had? Zero listeners with a 0.0 share. And yeah, of course, because how many of the people meters does BAI have at all? And management isn't answering that question. You have a small sample in the first place, and so you can't necessarily make a large statistical decision on that, but management may. What you do in order to save the overnight radio programs is you call 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or you want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. And you do that, and this will tell management, well, there's some people out there who want to listen to these programs and who are willing to support them. We had a local finance committee meeting, I think it was, some weeks ago, and one of the suggestions that somebody was pushing was the station could make money by renting out the signal from midnight to 6 a.m., 7 days a week. And yeah, probably could make money doing that. Right now, WBAI is around $22,000 to $25,000 a month short. In other words, we can't pay all of our bills. And a lot of what doesn't get paid is our central services fees to the National Office of Pacifica, which does a lot of things like pays our insurance and makes sure that we stay okay with the FCC and a whole lot of other important things. And the thing is, WBAI hasn't been regularly putting money into that. And, oh, that's a problem. So there are all sorts of people who are after BAI. Now, what happens is we need to shore up BAI. And if BAI continues to be 22 to 25 grand in the red every single month, it's going to add fuel to the fire that some other people in Pacifica have been trying to start. They want to get rid of BAI entirely. You can fight that. You can show BAI management and other people in Pacifica that we do have listeners to these overnight programs. You do that by calling 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. And say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Again, you can donate $10 or $5 or $15 or $20 a month, and it'll become automatic. And then you'll tell them what card to use. Or you can just say, I want to donate X amount of money this one time, and that's it. And you can do that also in the name of Back of the Book. Please give us a call. Give us a call at that number. We need to hear from you. 1-212-209-2950. Yeah, we didn't do the black hole stuff again. Too many things jumping up and happening, and we're just about out of time here anyway. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now, and we thank you if you do. And write to me and let me know you pledged at rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com. Say you donated, and that'll be good. That's it for Back of the Book this week. What's coming up next?
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
Thank you for listening. And we're going to be going and seeing if we're getting shots this week, doing all sorts of things. And you should look out your window or take a walk. We've got some nice days coming up. And above all, remember what that knowing that 9/11 was real Dormouse said.
WBAI's local station board, the Pacifica Foundation board responsible for advising local management and operations, is holding its next regular meeting on Wednesday, September 14th at 7 p.m. In these unusual and difficult times, the Pacifica Network is struggling financially, so it's up to the LSB to have WBAI distinguish itself by doing everything necessary to be financially strong. Please join us for the next meeting of the WBAI LSB. The meeting, accessible to the public, includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar at kpftx.org and on the WBAI website. You can also access the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. That's 929-205-6099. And enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. Again, the meeting ID, 922-457-2995. And as if that wasn't enough numbers, we also have a password. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency, 99.5. So it's 995-995-99. Again, the password, 995-995-99. Do you have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting? No, but we sure hope you do. And you can do that by sending a tax-deductible contribution made out to Pacifica-WBAI and mail it to WBAI 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. Or go to our website, WBAI.org, and click WBAI Buddy. And please donate in the name of your favorite show on listener-supported WBAI.
Tune in to WBAI Playhouse Saturday evening at 8 p.m. We'll begin with Houses on the Moon. It's a storytelling series dedicated to amplifying unheard voices here in New York. The first episode, Steve, deals with a young man's remedy to deal with his fifth-grade tormentor in 1980s Harlem.
Not only is he bigger than us, he's bigger than kids in his own age group.
Steve is followed by L.A. Theater Works' production of Ken Narasaki's No No Boy. It's based on the novel by John Okada, the story of a Japanese-American citizen out of prison after refusing to fight for the U.S. against Japan in World War II. He returns home and finds no solace in his broken family or the Japanese community that shuns him.
You are Japanese. If you were American, you wouldn't be behind barbed wire with the rest of the Japanese.
That's WBAI Playhouse, Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Houses on the Moon, Steve, followed by No No Boy, right here on WBAI New York.
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bang.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Break him with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.